What's good? What's good? We are back. Another live from Vietnam Friday. I'm the one and only Paul Masson, joined by Mr. J. Mr. J, how you doing, man?
All right, man. Everything's rolling.
Yeah, we got a special, very, very special guest. I'm so excited to bring on this guest today. The one and only Pace One from the Outsiders. Let's bring him on. Let's put him on the big screen. Let's go. Pace, what's good, man?
Yo, what up with y'all?
Oh, man, we're so happy you're doing this, man.
Well, thank you for having me, man. It's been a minute. Mr. J hit me a while ago. I had to wait till I put the mixtape out so I get some exposure.
I know that's right. Let's start with the Outsiders, man. Y'all had like 17 members, if I'm not mistaken, in total. Like,
well, not 17, but about 10.
10? Okay, y'all had a lot. You go to the Wikipedia, there's a lot of names on there, man. Like, how did y'all form?
I was in high school. I was about to graduate from high school. I met Young Z at a New Year's Eve party I was going to. And I walked down one of the back streets in Irvington, New Jersey, and he was out there with one of my boys, somebody I knew from a studio I used in Irvington. And yo, they were rapping, and me and my homeboy walked over. We started rapping with them. And then I left. I went to the studio like later on that week, and Z was there with my homeboy. So I was like, yo, what's up? We got to rapping again. I was about to say battling, but it wasn't a battle. It was just us in a cipher, mad raps. And we rapped, and then we kept in touch after that. And then, yo, we became the Outsiders.
That's what's up. Now, the Rah Rah track, was that the biggest single, would you say, under the Outsiders brand?
One of, if not the biggest. We did a joint with the Fugees. That was pretty big.
Okay. Now, what was the concept like behind the Rah Rah?
The Rah Rah was, you know, like when you go to the pep rally, they go rah, 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 hoorah. And, you know, even the Marines do the rah, rah, hoorah. So I bought the rah, rah, hoorah, put it in a hook, wrote the verses. I laid it down on a different beat at first out in Long Island with my homeboy. And then I came back to, you know, Jersey. I had a session. I was signed to Rough House at the time, Rough House Columbia. And I had a session at Chung King. It was in Manhattan. And then Ski was in the studio with Lord Finesse.
Okay.
And they were making beats, you know what I'm saying? And then, yo, he made one. Boom, 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 pacat. He was like, Pace, you got to rap on this. And I went in the booth, and I already had the lyrics and everything. I looked like Biggie or Jay-Z in there. I already had it. So I went in there, laid it down, and yo, you know what I mean? It became a single.
That's yeah. What's up.
So the whole connection, you know what I mean? The connections between y'all and the Fugees, you know, that whole Rough House Columbia label. Just kind of describe the vibe and being able to step in the studio with those people as well.
Woof. The vibe was vibing. It was a good vibration, man. It was like the Beach Boys, you know, good vibrations. But, okay, so I was on Rough House. Before I got to Rough House, we did the song with the Fugees. And, you know, I didn't think nothing of it. I was like, you know, I knew they were a local band. I met them up at the House of Music up in West Orange, New Jersey. And, you know, Rod Digger called me like, yo, the Fugees want to do a song with me, you, and Z. I was like, bet, let's go do it. And we went around there and we did the song. And, you know, it ended up coming out on their album. The album was way big. You know, Fuji Live went gold as soon as it came out. And then Killing Me Softly came out, and then they went platinum. They went like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 platinum. And then Cowboys came out, Ready or Not came out. So, you know, Cowboys got me a little buzz. I was signed to a production company, Rocker Block Productions. That's my man Ski B.
Ski, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, yo, he had me. He had the Sporty Thieves, and he had his solo project. And he went to Rough House, and, yo, they gave him a whole imprint, a label. So, you know, I was on that, and it was really good to, you know, be on Sony, because Columbia is on Sony, so Sony was the major we were on, and it was really dope, man. A real good vibe. And then a little bit after that, I went to Detroit. I met Eminem, you know what I'm saying? And then Eminem got down with us, and you know what I'm saying? I got my deal. I signed 6 months before Eminem. And yo, it was all great. It's great, you know what I mean? Got to meet mad people, met Nas, met Destiny's Child. You know what I'm saying? Columbia was it.
Damn.
You kind of touched on meeting M. You know, how did that really kind of come about? A little bit more detail on that.
With Eminem, okay. So Z was on A&M at the time. He was on Perspective Records. That's Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. And we got invited to a De La Soul video. I'm in one of their videos. It's called It's So Easy. It's on the album with Stakes Is High.
Okay.
The Stakes Is High album is called It's So Easy. They shot a video and everything. You know what I mean? It's a great video. I got to meet so many people that day. Moni Love. First time I met Black Thought. Okay. But yeah, I was at the video shoot, and then Z's manager wanted Z to go out to Detroit because we knew Bazaar already. We met Bazaar down in D.C. at Howard Homecoming. And then Z couldn't go. So his manager was like, yo, Pace, you want to go to Detroit and hook up with Bazaar, do some records? I was like, yeah, sure. So long story short, flew out to Detroit. A little white kid picked me up from the airport with his cap over his eyes. He was like, yo, hi, I'm Marshall. I was like, what's up, Marshall? I'm Pace, you know what I mean? And he was like, yo, I know who you are. I got some of y'all demo songs. Because we used to send them to Bazaar, you know what I'm saying? So he already knew who I was. We got up in the car. We got to rapping. I heard his tape. He had Infinite already. And I played my demo tape for him. He was like, yo, I love y'all music. So we went to the studio, we did a couple demos, and then, you know, Eminem was like, yo, me and Bazaar want to be outsiders. Could we be outsiders? I was like, y'all could be a part of the Detroit faction of outsiders. He was like, no, we want to be outsiders. So then I was like, you know what? You could be outsiders. I'm going to go home and tell the team. Came home, told the team. Played the song for Z and DU one time. They picked me up from the airport. I played the tape I did with them. And then Z liked the rapping that we did. And he liked Eminem's rapping. So he was like, I was like, yo, Eminem and Bazaar want to be outsiders. He was like, all right, they could be outsiders. I was like, yo, the kid is white. And he was like, the kid is white. He could keep up with us. He could keep up with you, Pace, and he white. He was like, we got to mess with him. So we started messing with him. They started coming over. We started doing more demos. And next thing you know, kaboom, just everybody blew up. You know what I mean?
So we posted in Reddit, like, what's your favorite song by or feature of Pace One? And everybody got a different song. But a few of them said, I declare war. Who produced that track?
That's Ski Beats.
That's Ski Beats too?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what's up.
He produced the joint. I went to the studio one day. He had this break album. They used to do them. It's called Dusty Fingers. He bought a Dusty.
That, yeah.
He had a couple of them, and we were going through the joint. And when he heard I Declare War, it's called Shady Blue. So when he played it, he was like, Pace, you got to rap on this. I'm sorry. This is your first single. You got to rap on this. And then, yo, he didn't even, you know, program the MP or nothing. He just took the break and used the engineer to put it down on the reel-to-reel. Yo, like real old school type shit, just using like the 1200s to catch it. Boop, boop, boop. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, the beat was laid down. He was like, go ahead. I went in there. Everybody was like, "Ooh, this is good. This good." And then, you know what I mean? And that was it. I had I Declare War. I did it before the rah-rah.
I want to ask you a question about Marshall, too. I don't know why I gotta call him, even though I don't know him, I call him Marshall like I do, because it just don't sound right if you walk up to him like call him Eminem or something. But Marshall, did you think he would ever be as big as he is?
Did I think he would be as big as he is? No. Not when I first met him.
Yeah.
When I first met him, he had the infinite flow still. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I was like, yo, you should rap like me. Rap like me and Z rap. You know what I mean? Since you're in the Outsiders, you're going to be in the Outsiders. Rap like how me and Z rap. And yo, he caught on to it quick. And next thing you know, he elevated that. And yo, he blew up, you know what I mean? But then when he signed to Dr. Dre, I was like, yo, that is a good opportunity for you. And yo, he didn't squander it. When I heard his demo tape, what he was doing with Dre, I was like, yo, crazy. So then I knew he was going to blow, because he was the freshest white boy I had ever heard.
Okay, that's what's up.
So you did some joints, or actually had an appearance with the Red Man.
I did a joint with Red Man. Let me start it right. Okay, I'm from Irvington, New Jersey, and then our studio was in Newark, New Jersey, on Springfield Avenue and 20th Street. That's where the outhouse was, our studio. So I was going over there, and even before we got over there, I met Red Man's sister. Z knew Red Man's sister because his DJ knew her. And then we met her, and then y'all end up meeting Red Man. I was like 19, and I was blown away, because at the time, Red was the freshest rapper out. You know what I'm saying? Him and like Biz Markie and Kane, you know what I'm saying? But he came, and he was newer than them, and he was spitting it. So I always liked him. So I used to sweat him. I used to call him all the time. After we met, he gave me his number. I used to call him all the time, like, yo, I got to rap on one of your albums. I want to rap on a song with you. So we ended up making like 4 or 5 songs together. You know what I mean? I don't know if they're all out. Maybe 3 or 4 of them out. One didn't make it out, but it was really good too. But anyway, so we made a bunch of demos. And then one time, like... was the rah-rah out? The rah-rah was about to come out, or it was out. I can't remember exactly. I think it was out already or coming out. And yo, Red called me like, yo, it's time, Jack. Go in there and do your rapping. And yo, I went in there. I got to lay it down. It was on his album, Malpractice, and it's called Bricks 2. And I was really happy and humbled by it. You know what I mean? Like I said, he one of my favorite rappers. And then we got Red and Meth to come and do a joint on the Bricks album. It's called Who You Be.
I saw, okay, I was reading about you got a group, the Shady Corporation, also known as the Shady Corps. And it also featured Milkbone, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. That's right.
So how did that come about where you formed a group with, was it DJ Scob, Ill Procedure, and Milkbone, if I'm not mistaken, or Scoop?
Mm-hmm.
And it says Ill Procedure and Milkbone.
Yeah, and it's a lot of people in there too. It was
Escapade, I think it's Escapade. That's is right. One of the names. And Denzi, y'all got a lot of people in y'all's groups all the time.
Yeah, well, that I was doing that because me and M had like a little fallout. A little bit after, maybe 2004, 2005, about 2003, 2004, 2005, we had a little fallout. We stopped talking. And you know what I'm saying? I got a little mad at him. I did a diss record. And then after that diss record, you know, he was like my dartboard for a minute. Every time I get mad at hip hop, I just throw a dart at the board. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, on Shady XV, he came through and he did Fine Line. And he was like, you know, it's like kind of like not apologizing, but explaining why, you know, people haven't seen him with us.
Yeah.
You know, a minute. And he said he's an outsider forever. And he said, yo, Pace, I love you too. You know what I'm saying? So it melted a cold heart, man. I was cold hearted. Yeah. It melted it. And then, yo, I was like, you know, in apology mode. And you know what I'm saying? I'm going to make it better. I'm going to name a group after him. You know what I mean? And then I went and got all like the rappers I was working with at the time that weren't signed, and the producers that I was working with at the time that weren't signed. And we made the Shady Core album. And yeah, it's pretty fresh. I still get money from it. It's a good thing.
Was Milkbone part of that group before or after he dissed them?
Before, after. On Just Don't Give a Fuck, Eminem says to crush a milk bone, I'm everlasting.
Yeah.
It's like silicone. So, you know, Milk, he defending himself. He got a legacy to defend, you know what I'm saying? He did a couple of diss records and, you know what I'm saying? But we put all of that behind us and we moved on to the Shady Core and we made everything all right.
That's what's up.
Yeah. Like you said, you've done some stuff with a lot of New Jersey rappers. We asked this kind of Hakeem Green, you know, Madism. It seems like when we talk about hip hop, we're probably about what? Actually, 2 days out from celebrating the 51st year of hip hop.
That's right.
Even in that 50 year celebration, you know, you got a little celebration on MTV of, you know, Jersey hip hop, but you didn't get the type of big celebration that you got for like New York or a couple other places. And when they mention it, it doesn't seem like New Jersey gets the shine that it has, even though it has so many MCs and so much of an influence on the overall, you know, history of the game.
Uh-huh.
You feel that way?
Wait, what has a positive impact on the history of the game? What?
It doesn't seem like it. New Jersey gets that, you know.
Love.
Yeah.
Well, you know, people tend to forget, but yo, we don't forget over here. We got we had the Sugar Hill Gang that kicked it all off. And then we had Queen Latifah, we had Naughty by Nature, Queen Latifah, Naughty by Nature, Lords of the Underground, The Artifacts, Redman, The Outsiders, Rod Digger, you know what I'm saying? Poor Righteous Teachers, Milkbone, it's a bunch of
K-Solo.
Who?
And K-Solo from Jersey too?
K-Solo, no. No,
oh, he ain't. I thought he was. Okay.
K-Solo from Central Islip, Long Island.
Okay. Okay.
I'm from C-I-L-I-L-F-Y, like a B-I-R-D-N-S-K-Y.
Jersey definitely got a ton of artists, though.
Yeah, we got an artist named O-Solo. He be doing the battle stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's one of our boys too. So yeah, like Jersey, yo, we do this, B. You know what I mean? New York is right there over the tunnel. We go through the tunnel, get over there, and then you know, back in the day, they used to not be so friendly with Jersey rappers. That's why we called ourselves the Outsiders. It was mostly a New York, New Jersey thing.
That's what's up. You did the album with Mr. Green.
Two of them.
And there's one I particularly had wanted to ask you about. The one that's titled "The Only Color That Matters Is Green."
Yes.
Is there more to that title than just like using his name in it?
Well, we did a play on it. Like the first one is called "The Only Color That Matters Is Green," and the second one is called "The Only Number That Matters Is One."
Okay.
So, you know, we did a little play off of our names, you know, put the records together, which were really good. And then we put them out.
It almost felt like there was more to the title, though, him being a white producer and you being a black artist.
Well, in the intro for that album, he was like, you're black, I'm white. You see this? What color is this? He'd be like, green. He'd be like, yeah. You know, when it comes into business matters, the only color that matters is green. Boom. And yo, it's a skit from the Jesus Shuttleworth movie. What was that called?
He Got Game?
He got game. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where it's from. A little skit we peeped out.
It says you also did a joint with Corrupt. How'd that come about?
One day I was on Rough House and I was going to my studio session. I had a studio session at Unique Studios, 47th and 7th, 47th Street and 7th Avenue. I got dropped off on like 7th or Broadway, some one of those blocks. And I was walking over, and walking past the barrels coming out was Corrupt. I was like, oh shit, that's Corrupt from the Dog Pound. So I walked over to him. I was like, peace, my name's Pace One. I'm in a group called The Outsiders. I'm working on my solo album right here. I'm on Rough House Records. I'd love for you to come through and drop a verse. Bless me with a verse. You know what I mean? We could pay you and everything. And yo, he was like, he said, all right, I'm gonna come over there. I didn't really think he was coming though, because you know how large them niggas was large. You know, besides the Fugees that year, the Dog Pound had the third biggest album, because it was the Fugees, Tupac, and then the Dog Pound. And yo, he was huge as shit. So when he said, yo, I'm coming over there, I didn't really believe him. But he ended up coming up there and he was like, yo, you don't even gotta pay for the verse. I'ma just do it. I called my boys, I called Z, Denton. I knew his boy name is Slop. I knew he from Irvington. So I knew him. We called them all up. They all came. We did a posse record. And one of my favorites, you know what I mean? And it ended up being on my one album. My first solo album. Oh. My bad.
You good? So who's somebody you haven't worked with yet that you still want to work with?
A few people. You know what I mean? I know I'm a little up in age, but I always wanted to do a song with Nas. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
When I was growing up, you know, I started driving 17, about 18. He dropped when I was about 18. And yo, his album was fresh as hell, and he always does, you know, fresh rapping. So I was like, yo, I want to do a song with Nas. And then, you know, if it really came down to it, I'd like to do a song with like Stevie Wonder. You know what I mean? He's like the biggest contemporary artist besides Miss Lauryn Hill. You know what I mean? So I always wanted to do a song with Stevie Wonder.
That's what's up. Jay, you had another question? Because I got another one. So I was watching this Vlad video earlier. Digger was saying that y'all used to have to fight people for Eminem. Is that true?
That is true.
So what, they would just, people would just like fuck with Eminem and y'all just pretty much had his back as a team?
Before Eminem got large, yo, people used to try to get at him. You know what I'm saying? He coming in there with me and Z. People knew us a little bit. And then they like, yo, who this little white guy? But then when he opened up his mouth and started rapping, people understood why he was with us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then he got a little bit larger. And we were on tour. We were in San Francisco one time. And somebody was heckling him. And M jumped out in the crowd, whopped the dude. People started jumping. Man. People started jumping them. Me and Z had to run down there and clear it out. You know what I mean? And we cleared it out.
Yeah, so M jumped off stage and basically stole the dude and started scrapping and they jumped him.
Yeah.
Wow. It wouldn't even seem like M would do that, but.
Well, yo, M was a different dude back then. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We used to take mushrooms and. Be freestyling up in the room after the shows, playing like Master Ace and everybody else that was out. So he was a regular, he was a tough dude, you know what I'm saying? Just like me and my crew. He was a tough dude. And I guess that one night he couldn't take the heckling and he just bounced out there and bopped the dude. It wasn't no joke neither. Somebody punched me behind my ear. I had a fucking egg. I had an egg back there, yo. I was like, yo. But, yo, it was serious. But he, J jumped out there, whopped the dude. They started jumping him. We jumped out there, boop, 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 boop. And, yo, cleared it out, and everything was all right. But M is my guy, man. From back in the day, he was a really down guy.
Y'all were in a lot of different places. Plus, back then, those clubs and stuff, you know, those were really rough places to kind of play.
Well, a little bit. But we had it easy because when we first started out, we used to do spots like the Wetlands in Manhattan, and we would do tramps in Manhattan. But then when he blew up, we went on tour, so we got to go all over the place, every major city and in every state, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know what to say. Like, yo, we did that. We've been everywhere, and hip-hop, baby. Hip-hop took us there. But on that Shady tour, we did mostly nice clubs. We did the House of Blues. It was a House of Blues tour mostly. House of Blues was everywhere. Chicago, yeah. Orlando, California. There was a House of Blues everywhere. Down in New Orleans, you know what I'm saying? Louisiana. So we did a whole bunch of them, and we did other clubs too. And sometimes back then we had two shows a night, you know what I'm saying? We used to perform at like 9 o'clock, and then we perform again at like 11 or 12 o'clock, you know what I'm saying? And it was a great experience, you know what I mean? I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world.
All right, we're going to get to a quick commercial break, and we're going to come right back.
All righty.
All right. Tropical Drink.
Me and my team will never be link up. They're gonna be drink up. We sit and relax and have few glasses when there's things to think about. Like I'm nice with the boss when I tend to the bars and I'm not talking drink ups. So tell the bartender that's tending the bar to please pass me a big cup up. And tell that waitress is waiting on us to put a little ice in it. Now watch the ice become weightless like the spaceships that I be sitting in. No waiting list, another waiting for that tropical twist. That'll take your taste buds. Now taste some. Now I insist it's the
drizzle.
That's right, I really mean it. You could dizzle too, like Chip Fu.
Chip Fu from the Fu Snickens. Let's go.
Let's talk about the new project you got coming out.
Yeah, it's out already. It came
okay,
out.
Okay, so what? Tell us some about like the title and some of the features and producers you got.
It's July 1st. It came out. The only feature on the whole album is I got a new group. It's okay. Called Team One, and it consists of my brother Jens, my homeboy R, my homeboy Confucius, B Uno, and G Smoke. I hope I ain't leaving nobody out, but yeah, that's our little clique, and they the only ones on my whole mixtape. The rest of it is just me bugging out. I made most of the beats.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? Just getting loose with it.
You had another question, Jay?
Yeah, so basically speaking of, you know, your team and everybody on that, how do you see the scene where you're at right now? How do you see the scene kind of coming up?
The scene, yo, it's a little bit tough now, you know what I'm saying? Back in the day in hip-hop, you know, we used to sell tapes and vinyl and CDs. Now with the streaming, you know, the money's been cut almost in like, you know, three quarters of the money is gone. You only make a quarter of what I used to make off of the actual music. The rest of the time I depend on, you know, shows and stuff like that, you know, hosting shows or hosting a mixtape or something. But, you know, back in the day, we had, you know, we made a little bit more money off the hip hop. So now I just view the scene as, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is. It's evolving. It's got young people in it. They don't really know or care about, you know, the history of our thing. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. They probably view it as, you know, a way to get some money. And it is. You know what I'm saying? I don't badmouth the up-and-comers, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, the hip hop scene isn't as good as it was when I was younger.
What do you think that? Go ahead, Jay.
anybody in particular you have your eye on as far as like
lyricism? A lot of the female rappers are good. You know, it's a good time for females in hip hop, like Latto and Glorilla and Megan Thee Stallion and all of them. You know what I mean? It's pretty good. You got the big three. You got Kendrick, Drake, and J. Cole. You know, that's getting a little bit older now, too. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's all right. You know what I'm saying? It's okay.
Why do you think there's such a disconnect between the new generation and our generation?
Oof. Why do I think it's such a big disconnect? I don't know. Maybe they're not listening to the stuff that paved the way for them. You know what I'm saying? That's all I could say. You know what I'm saying? Because if when I was growing up, I listened to Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, and I listened to the Cold Crush Brothers and Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh and the Fat Boys and Run DMC and LL Cool J. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Maybe they don't listen to the older stuff. I don't know.
Could any of it be with like some of these artists? I mean, I've dealt with a lot of, I guess, old school artists and artists from my generation, and they call a lot of these rappers, they put labels on them, mumble rappers and trash rappers or whatever. And these cats, they've heard this stuff.
And what's the question?
Like, do you think that could be part of the disconnect? You know, them hearing like them getting trashed from, you know,
by us,
yeah.
A lot of them are mumble rappers. That's just fact.
Yeah.
When Young Thug did that, and we did beginning
lifestyle. Yeah.
Yo, I don't know. That sound a little mumbly to me. Everybody liked it though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody like it. Everybody likes it. And then you might got somebody like Uzi that might, you know, when he first started was a little bit mumbly. You know,
yeah.
I think the start of that mumble rap, I'm not gonna lie, I ain't trying to get no heat for this, but like Lil Wayne used to be a little bit off the lean or something when he was rapping, because I used to have a hard time like making it out sometimes. But you know what I'm saying? I always thought that was part of it, and then people got worse because Wayne is fresh as hell. I met him out in Cali with the Fugees in November. He fresh as hell. But you know, as they try to mimic that style, like maybe they did it wrong or something. I don't know.
Well, we had Mickey Fax on here. He said he thought Bone was mumble rappers to him.
Bone. I love Bone. I do too. Crazy Bone is my guy. I see him all the time when I go out to do shows. Well, I used to see him all the time when I go out to do shows. That's my guy. And he hangs with one of my boys from Irvington. Well, he used to, you know, K-Mont. But I don't know. Like, I didn't think Bone was mumble rappers.
Now, do you still get a lot of shows overseas?
I do, but my passport is a little messed up right now. I ain't been going. Man. But I do. My crowd is significant out there in UK, Germany, France, and the Netherlands. I got a lot of people out there.
You think overseas is always going to love our era of hip hop more?
Yes, I do. But, you know, as we get older, the music gets older and the younger kids, you know, it's up to them whether their parents show it to them, their grandparents show it to them. You got whatever people are playing is always the biggest vibe. So, you know, they might continue to play it. I don't know.
I think that's you hit on something right there. It seems like the newer generation, their parents aren't playing, you know, the pure hip hop as much. And they're playing like, you know, they grew up on, I guess, the T.I.'s, the Jeezy's.
I was about to say the second generation of hip hop, which is that time right there in between 2000 and like 2014 or so.
Yeah.
You know, the you got to look at the groups that was out. You know what I'm saying? And you know, the T.I.'s, the Jeezy's, the Saint Lunatics, the Nellies, the, you know, maybe they go with that kind of style. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, like you said, that's the biggest thing. You know,
I'm not down in that era of hip hop is good as well. People, Nelly sold 8 million records out the gate. So you know what I'm saying? It was still working. But you know, I was always into like Slick Rick and KRS-One. You know what I'm saying? So that's what stuck with me, and that's what I kind of do my thing like. You know, other people have, you know, their favorites, and you know, they emulate that.
Do you feel like lyricism has kind of got lost along the way a little bit, though? Like, there's always been this battle. There's always been this battle kind of between commercial and independent. And, you know, it seems like the commercial has definitely exceeded the independent.
Exceeded the independent? You know the kid Extension, right? Extension. You know those.
Oh, yeah, people, I know. Yeah.
Those people were independent. You know, even though they was like on Republic or Empire or whatever distribution that was, the Young Dolphs, the Extensions, the, you know, those people were fresh. They fresh too. So the independent scene is still good to me, and I think the commercial side is suffering more than the independent scene. The independent scene seems to still be going strong, you know what I'm saying? But the commercial side, when I say commercial, I mean like, you know, the major label side, it doesn't seem to have as much talent as it once had, because they used to develop talent. They don't do that anymore. That's a thing of the past. So now they just, you know, waiting for somebody to get 1 million followers. They gave them a major deal, and then we get the material that comes from that, and it's not always good.
Yeah, independent definitely has the higher quality of music. You seen this thing where they talking about hip hop needs an adult contemporary subgenre?
I would love that. I would love that so much, because to tell you the truth, those rappers never played out. Those KRS didn't play out. I just did two shows with KRS not like a month or so ago. You know what I'm saying? One was a year ago. One was just a couple of months ago. Yo, KRS does not play out. And Slick Rick doesn't play out. And EPMD doesn't play out. So we definitely, and we need radio stations that'll play
it. Like the classic hip hop stations, right?
We need some radio stations that'll play it, because I turn on the radio now, and yo, I have to turn to an R&B station or a pop station. I can't take the hip-hop station no more. I can't take it. You know, my boy R from Team One Inc., he always be like, yo, Pace, you need to chill out. Let the little niggas live. You know what I'm saying? Let the up-and-comers live. I be like, yo, they could live, but I need good music. You know what I'm saying? I be needing some good music from them. You know what I mean? And we get it sometimes, you know what I'm saying? But I need more of it. I wish all of them could give it to us like that. You know what I'm saying?
I think the ratio used to be, you know, 5 to 1 as far as like good music to whack music. Now it's kind of flipped. It's kind of 1 to 5.
1 to 5. I don't mean to laugh, but yo, that's a terrible ratio. That's 20%.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I mean, I think, you know, R&B, like you said, you listen to R&B. You listen to R&B. R&B is killing, you know, what would be considered commercial pop right now. They have more quality.
To tell you the truth, you know, I was with my friends, like, just a couple of days ago, 2 days ago, and we were, like, talking about it, and just, like, the R&B starting to suck, too. Yeah. Like, yo, the major labels are messing everything up. Universal just fired a bunch of people. Warner Brothers just fired a bunch of people. Sony doesn't bring out music as much as they, you know, have in the past. You know, Sony had Michael Jackson. You got to find somebody that they should sign Chris Brown, but he probably on Universal. So I don't know, like, you know, that the R&B suffering. The pop music is still good, though, because I've been listening to BB Rexha and stuff like that. Yeah, I got to find some entertainment through the music, so I just listen to the pop and R&B. And the hip-hop is all right, but, you know, like Mr. J said, I'm into lyricism, and the lyricism has taken a hard blow. You know, it went from like we making billions of dollars every year off of this with Biggie and Fat Pun out there to like, yo, we barely making $100 million now. Like, yo, we going backwards. So I don't know what to say. You know what I'm saying? I'm lucky enough that my mixtape was dropped on Universal, which is one of the three majors that's left. When I was a kid, we had five major labels. You know what I'm saying? A&M was a major label. They had Polydor, Mercury, you know, Perspective Records, a whole bunch of, like, you know, people. It was an open door because we had five majors, you know, the boutique label signed to a major label, and then you get a really good artist off of it. And it doesn't seem like we're getting too much of that anymore. The streaming is killing us. Streaming is killing us.
Ryan Minton said, you took the sex crimes out of the music.
The sex crimes? Who, me?
One of our local comedians said, you took the sex crime out of the music, suffers, laughing out loud.
We remember KRS had 13 and good? He be talking about like he didn't know the girl was so young. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I know what he talk about. Like, you know, in hip hop, we always had diversity. You know, Eminem comes with Guilty Conscience. You get to hear about, you know, leave her at her parents' house. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, we had that kind of stuff. And now, like, we don't. And it's kind of because the cancel crowd, you know, they'll try to cancel you, and now, you know, you can't say certain words on your record. When I was a kid, you could call a soft kid a fag. Like, yo, faggot, get out of here. Now that's like frowned upon. You could say retarded back in the day. It's just words you can't use anymore. It's just not you know, public friendly.
And I think there's a lot
go ahead.
I think there's a lot of multifaceted reasons why everything kind of fell off. Like you were talking about the condensing of labels, you don't have any real A&Rs. So you don't have any real people who know how to develop artists. They don't know how to speak when they go on different interviews. They don't know how to present themselves in a way that doesn't look strange, or how they used to call it, or how they seem to call it now, mysterious.
That is correct. Mysterious. That's so correct. When I was on the major label, we sit with a song and they'd be like, okay, it still needs this. It still needs this. It needs a couple scratches. It needs some cuts. It's getting developed. They used to put me in a place to rehearse, you know, a room. It's got all the mirrors. It's got a little stage and some place for your DJ to set up. So I had to go in there and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse. Until I got it right and I was ready for stage. And then, you know, you might get a PR person come up to you like, yo, don't try not to answer the question with a question. Try to, you know, answer it like this. We were developed. I was developed. The Fugees were developed. You know what I'm saying? Then again, some acts don't need developing because you got, like I said, KRS-One and BDP and Eric B and Rakim and Big Daddy Kane. I don't think they was developed. They was just at home, two turntables and a microphone, putting it down, Run DMC way. You know what I'm saying? Fat Boys way. So I don't think they were developed, but some groups were developed, you know, like an Arrested Development, a Diggable Planet. You know what I'm saying? Some people have to be developed and some don't, I guess.
That's crazy. I forgot what my question was now. Jay cut me off on the
my bad.
Somebody like De La Soul was probably developed, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know what it was. Now, you being on a major label one time, as quick as it seemed like overnight, labels just stopped caring about lyricism and hip hop and just the quality of the music. Do you think they ever cared?
Some labels did.
Some labels? Like some maybe Loud Records or something like that?
Loud was making a lot of money. Wu-Tang made a lot of money.
Yeah.
Pun made a lot of money. Exhibit made a lot of money. Mobb Deep makes a lot of money.
My favorite.
So you better believe Steve Rifkin is looking over his shoulder with everything. He wants the money to continue. You know what I'm saying? The Alcoholics and all of that. Yo, they had a really good label over there at Loud. It's like Tommy Boy back in the 80s. You know what I'm saying? Tommy Boy had a lot of good acts. Naughty by Nature, Queen Latifah, Mark the 45 King. Just a lot of good music came out of Tommy Boy. The Soul Sonic Force, Afrika Bambaataa. Yo, so you know what I'm saying? Those kind of labels are like what I call a boutique label. They sign certain acts, and those acts actually have the draw at the door and have the crowd to support what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't know what the majors are doing now. They need to, like you said, they need to come with a radio station, a few radio stations across the country, and give us our own genre. And I bet you things will snap right back into the billion-dollar factory.
I mean, all you got to do is put them in, what, the top five markets?
That's right. Chicago, New York, Miami, Cali.
And probably like, Atlanta.
Las Vegas, I was thinking.
What do you think about the South? Do you think the South had anything to do with, like, not caring about lyricism as much?
The South is like everywhere else. You know what I'm saying? The South has its good rappers. They got Ludacris and Scarface and T.I. You know, those are good rappers.
Rick Ross,
those are good rappers. You know what I'm saying? New York had good rappers, Kool G and KRS and Rakim and LL.
And then you had your bad ones too. Yeah.
And then you got bad ones. Exactly. So I think down South is just like everywhere else, every other major market. You know what I mean? It's some good ones and some bad ones. You know, who you let cut through. You know, money has a lot to do with everything, with the integrity of the hip hop, everything. Because if you could just go up to the record, to the radio station and give the DJ $5,000 and a bottle of champagne and he play your stuff and it's not up to par, you can't blame, you know, you could blame the artist and you could blame the radio station. You can't blame anybody else.
Yeah. You had another question before we go and we give him the shout outs.
Yeah. So as far as your new projects, What are we looking forward to?
Well, you see, I ain't get my hair cut. I'm recording something new right now, you know what I'm saying, to follow up my mixtape on Universal. You always could look forward to some lyrics, some catchy beats, you know what I'm saying? Right now, I'm starting to look for, like, you know, ladies and gentlemen to sing the hook on my songs. And you know what I'm saying? I think in the future, I'm going to be a little bit more... When I was a kid, I was into raw and hard pause rapping. You know what I'm saying? I was into that. But now as I get older, I'm trying to mix it up, be a little more diverse. You might hear a pop song from me soon. I don't know. You know what I mean? I ain't trying to cross over or sell out or nothing, leave my crowd. I'm just trying to continue and gain bigger success. So you might hear some R&B, some pop, some reggae. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to try to mix it all up with the rapping and keep the good lyrics and keep the boom bap in there. But we add, you know, maybe we'll add some horns or some guitars or something. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. We'll see.
A little bit of sauce.
So we had a question from on Reddit. We posted on Reddit and a fan had a question. They were curious to know how you felt when Sean Price and G-Unit freestyled over the I Declare War beat.
Yo. Happy. Yo, let me tell you something. Not tooting my own horn. I Declare War was already a big hit. It already went gold on the Rough House Greatest Hits album. So I'm good with wherever I was already at. But before DMX passed away, he did the song with Griselda to the Shady Blues beat. Yo, my streams million. The first year before he passed, when he passed away, 1 million streams just from that. And it hasn't come down. It hasn't come down. Like last year, I had like close to 1 million. Right now, you know, just on Spotify, it's at 3-4 million streams, where it was only at like maybe before DMX did it, it was only at maybe like 800,000 streams. Now it's at like 4 million streams.
Damn.
And you know what I'm saying? Asher Roth did it. Sean Price did it. 50 Cent and the G Unit did it. You know what I'm saying? Madlib did it. A lot of people did it. So, yo, I'm really like blessed and happy that they, you know, find the beat fresh enough to go and hold it down to.
And shouts out to Ski from Rocker Black. If I'm not mistaken, he's from North Carolina, right, Mr. J?
Yeah.
That's right.
And a place down here. So, yeah.
That's right. He always be down there. He always be like, yo, Pace, I'm going to North Carolina. But he got a place in New York still, too.
Okay. Yeah.
It's one of the cats I definitely was trying to hook up with back in the day, you know, doing music. So
it was hard to get at him. Yeah. It was hard to get at him. He had his own group, Original Flavor. Then he put Jay-Z on it.
Yep.
And then he did the Reasonable Doubt album. He got like 3-4 beats on there, like The Feeling It, the Dead Presidents, yo, big shits. So, yeah. You know, it's hard to catch up with him. Then he did Camp Low. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He did my stuff. He did some stuff for Rod Digger. Yo, it's hard to catch up with him, man. That boy is a genius.
Well, before we let you go, anybody you want to shout out?
I want to shout out everyone in the world. And then I want to shout out my parents, my daughter, my brother and sister, Young Z, Rod Digger, the Fugees. I seen, I was supposed to perform with them yesterday. Oh, no, today. Today I was supposed to perform with them, and they had to cancel the tour because of some stuff that's going on. So I just wanted to tell the Fugees, God bless y'all. I love y'all. Please keep it together. Don't let any internal affairs mess up what y'all have already created. That is a great legacy. They're one of the more fun groups in hip hop. When you come to the show, everybody's having fun. People eating, people dancing, yo, and it's just a great experience with Mrs. Lauryn Hill, Ms. Lauryn Hill, and I hope they could keep it together. And I want to shout out KRS-One, everybody, Mr. Green. If I miss anybody, I love you. God bless you. That's it.
Well, we want to shout you out, man. We appreciate you taking the time out, man, to join us live from Vietnam. And you a friend of the show, man. Anything you're doing, we're going to support. Also, we do the live music reviews. We just reviewed the song with you and Drasmatic. You know, that got a yay. That was a dope record.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
You
thank
did you. Your thing talked, on it. You did your
I
thing on it.
I just talked to Draz a couple minutes ago, too. Yeah, he just asked me, am I ASCAP or BMI? So he doing the cuts. You know, you got to do the cuts when you want.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a cut of the record. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but I want to shout out Drasmatic too. He a good upcoming rapper from New Jersey. I took him with me over to meet Miss Lauryn Hill. So he one of my boys, you know, and I hope everything goes well. He got a little problem with his lungs. And,
yeah,
you know,
he was telling us.
He be rapping and stuff, but he getting better. You know what I'm saying? Everything is going well, man.
Yeah, even with the problem with his lungs, everything he pumping out is bangers, yo.
Fire, yo. That's
you
my
can't,
man.
You can't tell. You can't tell there's a problem going on over there, man, because everything is hot.
I can't tell neither, but, yo, that's my guy, yo.
Yeah.
All his records, fire, man, fire.
Definitely. We appreciate you, man. Yeah. Oh, what Mr. J did a song with you back in the days, too.
That's right, Mr. J. Me and you shut it down. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, man, I almost forget.
I knew it when... because I was coming up on here, but I forgot to shout it out. Me and Mr. J shut that joint down. That's one of my favorite joints. I do a lot of features with up-and-coming rappers and, you know, rappers that's already out. But, yo, I really enjoyed doing it with the up-and-comers. And Mr. J was an up-and-comer, and he reached out to me, and he stayed down with me the whole time. We got it down. And then he was like, yo, shoot a video for it. Shoot your part of the video. And I went and did it, and he edited it and got it together, and it looks flawless, and I love it. That's one of my favorite joints.
That's what's up. Well, we appreciate you coming on, man. You have a great night tonight, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. Thank God it's Friday. I'm trying to get laid tonight. And shout out all the hip-hoppers. Love y'all. God bless you, man.
All right, man. Take it easy, Pace.
All right. Love y'all, man.
All right. You too. Peace.
All right. Peace.
Well, there you have it. Another dope interview. Pace One, Outsiders. A lot of stories to tell, man. We probably could have interviewed him for hours, man. There's so much to talk about, man. The Outsiders, the Mr. Green albums, the Eminem. Everybody going to always want to know about Marshall and whatnot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. From the Eminem to Redman to doing a joint with Corrupt. I mean, just being around the business, there's so many probably other business, you know, music business stories he could have told, you know, just especially from that era, you know, when it was, well, basically when the era was popping, you know what I'm saying? It was really popping and you really had people doing hip hop for the love. And that's just, you know, it doesn't get no better than that.
And Jersey just don't get enough love, man. It's like Jersey kind of gets treated like the Clippers do to the Lakers. They kind of like little brother, you know what I'm saying, to the New York. But New York, that's the thing. New York isn't even what it used to be with the sound, man. And Jersey probably still pumping out a lot more of the doper artists, I would think, right now. Because New York is heavily drilled, man. So anything you want to shout out before we go, Jay?
Yeah, man. Of course. We're going to shout out you.
Appreciate it.
Shout out Pace One, definitely, for, you know, talking about the joint, talking about everything that's going on, especially saying, you know, that was one of his favorite joints, doing it, the Rhyme Professionals with me. So definitely shout out that to that song. Let's go run them numbers up. You know what I mean? Again. So.
You actually got a lot more features than I got. I got the Lady Luck feature. I got the Phantasm Cell Dwellers feature and a Rampage Flip Mode. But you got some bigger features over there, I will say. You got Mickey Fax, Pace One. Who else you got?
DMC.
You got DMC, you got Search. Don't you got Search on a record?
Yeah, Search. Lin Q. Lin Q was with the group, with the Empire. Message to Hip Hop, King Crooked.
King Crooked, okay. You do got a record with King Crooked, don't you?
You know, just to name a few, and of course, you know, we got the independent cats that have been doing their thing, like Eddie Ruger, Fat. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The cats from the Empire. So, you know, Prince Unique. You know, out of the movie. Matter of fact, shout out the movie Savage Genesis that I was in. He's trying to run the numbers back up on that again.
You tell him he better mess with those Tubi groups, man. That's what Barry Williams be doing, just posting in those Tubi groups. I mean, even when I did my movie reviews, man, they're getting thousands of views off of the movie reviews. And those posts are always getting thousands of views in those Tubi groups. And, you know, you could get in there just when people post stuff, just comment, you know, have you seen this video? I mean, have you seen this movie? Check out this movie or whatnot. Yo, yeah, I want to say shouts out to you. Shouts out to Pace One. Shouts out to my bare knuckle fighting world. Go check out. We got a new interview with it's an amateur boxer and MMA fighter, Warren Panasco. And tomorrow I'm going to interview the youngest prospect in BKFC history. He hit me up. So I got a lot of these fighters starting to come out the woodwork. So hit me up asking me for interviews. And I don't really turn them down at all. Shouts out to my man Ryan Minton tuned in earlier. Chris Porterfield. Yuju Visions. Sent the TuneCore link. You can actually submit your music to livefromfayetnam@gmail.com. And I'll be doing music reviews tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Appreciate everybody tuning in on Instagram. Anything else you want? Oh, yeah. Follow. Make sure y'all go follow Pace One on Instagram at Pace_WON. Pace_WON. Pace One on Instagram. Anything else you want to shout out before we go?